This afternoon, I've been thinking about the message this morning, and it's caused some thoughts to come to my mind that I'd like to share with you. The result of it caused me to think about this, and I would give what I have tonight to have this title, Mercy Extended. And this morning, we heard about God's mercy being extended to each of us. And then we also heard about mercy from us being extended to other people. Yes. We want that to happen in our life. We desperately need it to happen in a channel from God to us. There's a song that I thought about a verse of. It said, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever shalt be. Great is thy faithfulness," and then it just goes on and says it again, "Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. All I have needed, thy hand has provided." That's more than the food that I need to have tomorrow. There's some times when I need mercy extended to me from him. All that I've needed, your hand has provided it for us. He has that for us, and I am very thankful for it. I'd like to start with a verse over in Psalms 103 and 14. This is a picture of us, maybe 13. "Like as a father pitieth his children, yes, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Wind passes over it and it's gone. The place thereof shall know it no more." You know, if we took our lifespan, if we could live 80 years and then it's over, it's gone. But there's something that's not gone. The 17th verse says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. You know, I'm so glad that he does not have a limit. I will take just this level of wickedness in the world, and my mercy will be shut off. Instead, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting and up. The story, the parable that we heard this morning of the one that forgave the debt, I was looking at that over in Matthew 18 and 27. There are so many lessons in that one little story right there, different directions that it could go, and things that it's trying to teach us. But the main part for tonight that I want to see is mercy that he extends to us, and then the mercy he wants us to extend to others. 18 and 26. "The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." We're talking about mercy extended. There's a lot of lessons that can come from this. We can learn a lesson from what that servant went out and did to others. But I want us to focus on what the Lord of that servant did in the 27th verse. He was moved with compassion. He loosed him and he forgave him the debt. You know, an important lesson that I think from these two verses for me is how for us to approach God to be able to get his mercy to be extended to us. There is a way that touches God that almost like just opens the faucet of his mercy for us, just like it happened with this one. Now, if this servant has started trying to explain why he should not have to pay that all back, "You didn't pay me enough while I was working for you anyhow," or any of those things. But what did he do? He fell down, he worshiped him, and he didn't say, "I shouldn't even have to owe you anyhow. You got more money than you can ever spend." What he said was, "Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all." So I think it's very important for us to, we can look through the Bible, and I'd like to look at a few of those tonight, because we find time after time that the Lord's telling us, whether it's in a parable or whether it's in a story that he's telling us, there is a way to reach the heart of a father, the father, that his mercy is extended to us. So this one happens in this story. The debt is forgiven, and that's the piece that we would like to look at. But there is also another over in Luke. I thought of this one. All of these stories we're very familiar with. And there are also in this story, there are so many lessons, different lessons that can be learned from it. But I just want to take this little piece out of it. In Luke 15, where it's talking about the son, the prodigal son that went out, you know, there's a lesson for the prodigal son going out and spending his money on riotous living. There's lessons in all that. But what I would like to look at is in the 17th verse, is after all that has happened, for this tonight of mercy extended, after all that has happened to him when he's gone out and he spent it, what was his reaction? You know, we're living in a time where people feel that they're entitled. Even after they have gone out and wasted their substance on riotous living, they feel like they're still owed some things. You know, that prodigal son could have said, you know what, my daddy has got more money than he'll ever spend, even after I got my portion. He owes me. I'm still his son. Would he have gotten the same mercy extended to him? But instead, look at what happened in the 17th verse. He came to himself. You know, that's the first point that is important to be able to have mercy extended to me from the Lord. I need to come to myself. You know, we're living in a time where I can shift responsibility. And I see that's another lesson throughout the Bible. There are people, and I don't see them getting much help from the Lord when they did it. It started out, it seems like it's a human nature thing. It started out with Adam when God came to him and said, did you eat of it? You know, all God wanted was a yes or a no. But instead what he got was, let's beat around the bush here, the woman that you gave me, she gave it to me and I ate it. So it shouldn't be as bad of a thing because she's the one that did it. Well, we're looking at this story. It could very easily have been different with this prodigal son. He could have felt, you know what, I'm still entitled. But what happened is he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and spare, and I perish with hunger? Now, I'm going to arise and I'm going to go to him and I'm going to tell him, I'm better than a servant. I'm still your son. Come on, turn loose of your money. No. I'm going to say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose with an intention of doing just that. We want to be able to have the Lord's mercy extended to us. You know, these are sinful things. They went out and did riotous living. You know, there are times when I need the Lord's mercy extended to me for just something I just said to somebody and got myself in trouble, and how do I ever get myself back out of it? How's the best way to do it? Do I go to the Lord and say, but I tell you what, Lord, let me tell you what they said that caused me to say this. Best thing for me to do is just get down low like these examples are for us, because I find from those examples we find out mercy was extended. He arose, 20th verse, came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. And did it say then, well, when the son found out the father was that compassionate, he changed his mind and decided to tell him, I need some more money? No. He comes on through with what he had to say. Father, 21st verse, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. For mercy to be extended to me, I'm going to have to get down very low before the Lord. Those are some examples for us. There's another one. David. Yes. He's the king. You know, when Nathan came to him, David has already covered a lot of things. He so far has been able to cover it all up. Having Uriah killed, it's a cover-up. And doesn't seem like, you know, some people had to know about it. To be able to tell the captain, take Uriah up to the front, then get the men to run away. Now that does not sound like somebody that has the interest of his people at heart. You know, immediately they had to realize there's something going on here. But instead they were obeying him. Now here comes a prophet, and he tells him the story of the little lamb. And David must have felt like this thing is covered enough that I can't even see the parallel of this story that is coming to me. Instead, he just rises up with, here's what needs to be done. You know, his life needs to be taken. He needs to have some things paid back and all. And then he heard, thou art the man. Yes. You know, David's got a choice to make. He could have killed Nathan and continued on a little while longer, covering it and going. But instead, I love being able to read David's part of the same thing that happened in these other two instances that we have just talked about. And that's over in Psalms. We get to read his prayer. Psalms 51 and the first verse. Have mercy on me, O God. Now you know what that sounds like, getting down low like that prodigal son did. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Now, is he saying here, Lord, I tell you what, I'm worth something. You owe me something. No, what he's realizing is, you know what? God is a merciful God. And I'm coming to him. I need my transgressions blotted out. And he says in the second verse, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. You know, to be able to come to the Lord that way, that Lord, it's not somebody else that has caused me this problem and I responded this way and it's really not all my fault. But to be able to come like David did, you know, David even came against thee and thee only have I sinned. David's really not saying there's nobody else that got hurt by what I did. But what he did was, Lord, right now my focus is I have sinned against you. He's really saying what the prodigal son said. Lord, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no more worthy to be your servant. But David's calling out for mercy right here. I acknowledge my sin, and it's my transgression is ever before me. My sin is ever before me. There is a verse over in Psalms 86 and 5. This is another prayer of David. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. No, fifth verse. For thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy. Plenteous in mercy to everybody? No, here's who it is. Plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee. You know, that calling upon thee was those verses there where I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. His mercy is extended to that. Jonah is another one that I thought about. When he went and talked to them, he had a little message from the Lord. What was it? Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. How many words is that? Just about 8-word message, and that's it. There is no mercy attached to that message. And there's a lesson in that. Because there was no mercy from the Lord extended to them with that message. Folks, y'all can count your days down. 40 days from now, this is going to be overthrown. But I looked at something this afternoon. How did they get mercy after there was no mercy extended to them from that message? When I looked at this, Jonah, the third chapter, and starting in the fifth verse, at the end of the fourth verse, Jonah, he's crying out to him, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And that's all they're hearing from him. But here's what they do. The people of Nineveh believed God. Yes. Those little words, that's probably no longer sentence than what their message was that came to them that's going to be overthrown. But it was so valuable, they believed the message. And what does it say? They believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. The word came to the king of Nineveh, You know, the king could have heard that message and say, what are y'all getting so stewed up about? This is a man that we can easily take care of him and don't worry about it. But what happened even to the king himself? The king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth, then sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, cry mightily to God. Let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that's in their hands. And we still don't know but what in the end of 40 days we're going to be overthrown. But look at that next verse. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? So this little piece is we don't even have reason to believe that he will turn from what he's going to do. But it would be worth it for us to humble ourselves before him and see what he will do. And what does it say? God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And he repented of the evil that he said he would do to them, and he did it not. I'm thankful for that mercy that is extended. We read in Psalms 136, I believe there are 26 verses in there. And each of those, the first verse starts out with, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. You know, his mercy is still extended to us just like it was extended to America today. Is extended just like it was to Nineveh back then. What he's looking for is somebody that will humble their heart before him. I'm thankful for that. His mercy endureth forever. So Jesus left us an example. I saw it over in Luke, the 23rd chapter. You know, he went through a lot of things, and he could have shut his mercy off. He could have told his father it's time to shut it off. But this morning I mentioned it, but I want to look at it again. Luke in the 23rd chapter in the 34th verse. You know, he's in pain right now. They're hanging on the cross. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, you look back over all the things that they did. It's not that they didn't realize what they were doing. They didn't realize the impact of what they were doing. There was another verse that I saw connected with this that I thought was kind of interesting. 1 Corinthians 2 and 8. If they would have known it is what this verse talks about. 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter 8th verse. He's talking about the wisdom of the world and the wisdom that God has. Which none of the princes of this world knew. They didn't know about the hidden wisdom, the wisdom of God that was available. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had been able to see what salvation was going to be coming through Jesus Christ, it says they would not have done it. Their heart would have been different. So I was thinking of this. It wasn't just Christ that was able to do it. But it passed along to someone else. When Stephen was being stoned, he's in pain. He's got trouble. This is in Acts in the 7th chapter. You know, when trouble is coming on us, if there's anything down inside that can rise up, it could sure happen at that time. In 7 and 60, it says here he's about to die. He kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We're talking about mercy extended. Those first verses that we had was God's mercy extended to us. These verses are about us asking God, Lord, I want you to extend mercy to these people. These people that are stoning me and just a few more stones and I'll be out in eternity myself. Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Remove this from them. You know, it would have been so easy for him to say, you're going to pay for this. You're going to see this one day in the judgment. Can you imagine? His desire is, Lord, that this would not be, if they could make heaven because this is erased, I'd be happy for it to happen. That's quite an attitude there. And I saw it in other people, mercy extended. One of them was in Genesis, the 14th chapter, was Abraham. You know, when he offered to Lot, you pick whichever one you want. You think he couldn't tell that Lot was picking the best that there was? I believe he knew it. And Lot now picks the best. He's headed down towards Sodom. And now a war comes along. We don't read about this very often. But in the 14th chapter and in the 14th verse, things have come along now, and Lot, in the 12th verse, he has been taken captive. You know, Abraham real easily could have said, I tell you what, that boy has been a burden on me ever since I let him come with me. I'm going to just let him go, and he needs to be a captive for a while. You know, as soon as he heard that, Abraham, his mercy was extended to Lot. He took his own servants and rescued Lot. And he didn't say, well, boy, I'm going to tell you, this is my last time to help you. You get back out of here. You should have never been down here anyhow. You picked it because you were seeing what was the best anyhow. We don't see any of that happening with Abraham. In fact, what we do see again is over in the 18th chapter, when God is coming down, when the Lord's coming down and he's going to go judge Sodom and Gomorrah. In the 23rd verse, what was Abraham's desire that God would do for them? Abraham drew near and he said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? You know, he could have easily said to God, Lord, I knew that boy was going to be in trouble and he's going to catch it now, sure enough. Yep, you'll find him down there. He's right up in the middle of them. But what he's doing is he's importuning. Yes. Lord, I tell you what, would you destroy it? He must have known Lot's there, but he's got a good heart about him. Lord, would you not destroy the righteous with the wicked? And there's a lesson in this for us. It's easy for me to see about God's mercy being extended to me. Yes. But Lord, help me that my mercy would be extended to those around me. We heard this morning about Joseph, and we read about it in the 45th chapter where he told his brothers, God sent me here. It wasn't you that did it. You know, that was mercy extended. That tells us something about the heart that Joseph was able to maintain all those years that he was in prison. It tells us kind of about what kind of thoughts he was retaining, what things he was storing up. You remember bringing into captivity every thought. You know, I believe somehow he, along with the knowledge that he had of what his brothers had done to him, somewhere there was mercy extended in his mind before he ever had to meet up with them that day. And I thought of this. When he came into power, I don't ever read of him putting Potiphar's wife in prison. I don't see him going back and I'm going to make wrongs right now because I've got the power to be able to do it. And there's a verse that I'd like for us to look at. It's in Romans, because the same thing is for us. Because you know, some of these things it may just be things in my mind. And you know, I can spend a lot of hours thinking about those things that somebody's done to me. But there's a verse for us. Romans 12 and 19. And I kind of would like to think that Joseph must have lived under this himself. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So here's what you do when somebody has done you wrong. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It's so important for us. We also heard this morning, forgiveness does more than just releasing the offending party. Forgiveness releases me. And you know, there are some things that can happen in the time until I forgive. It's almost like taking poison and then wonder why I'm getting sick. Lord, help me to realize, you know what, this thing, when I turn it loose from the heart and forgive, because every one of us are going to be wronged at some time. If I can realize, you know what, the quicker, Lord, I can release this thing and give it to you and realize that, don't give place to wrath. Vengeance is mine. I'm going to repay, saith the Lord. So do I go around telling them, I tell you what, you're going to pay for that one of these days. No, here's what I do. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. Don't be overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. Because there's a verse in Hebrews 12 and 15, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know what? When that root of bitterness starts to spring up in me, it's going to cause that mercy is no longer extended to those that have wronged me. And I want to, my desire is, Lord, help me. Help us all. Because if I don't have somebody that has wronged me and my thoughts are on it today, just keep on living. Because every one of us will have something done to us that the devil will try to use on us. But if I would just remember the places where God's mercy was extended. I saw a picture of it with the prodigal son. Yes, it was the prodigal son's father, but it's God and me when he forgave me. The compassion that was had when the servant fell down and worshiped him. When it was going to be that to make this payment, you're going to go into... Can you imagine? We don't live in that kind of time anymore. You're going to be sold. Your wife's going to be sold. Your children are going to be sold. And you're still going to owe a lot of money. You know, we live in a time where I'm going to get a lawyer and he'll take care of this thing. You know, back then, that really happened. You remember the place where the woman came to the prophet and she said, my husband is dead and the debtor, the man that I owe a debt to, he's coming like tomorrow and my sons are going to be sold into captivity to make payment for it. You remember when he told her, he said, go get some pots and get oil and go sell it. Well, that was how things were done back then. We don't live in that kind of time. I'm thankful for it. But Lord, help us in our mind. We can have some things churning and we can be captive there. I want to be able to have, I really want the Lord's mercy to be extended to me throughout my life. I realize now how I can get it. It is get down low before the Lord. And I also realize when I need to extend it to others, Lord, help me to be able to do the same. I desire your prayers.